and I'll just say it exactly how it is. So I want to, right now, I want to bind up that spirit of aggravation and irritation and being tense. So if you've had a bad morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you've gotten into a knockdown dragout with your husband and your wife or your kids, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you've come in here and you're agitated this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Because see, what the devil does is he likes to take the word right even before you get the word. He likes to get you agitated so you can't even receive the word. And so, but God says that he's come to have life, give you life, and to give it to you in more of an abundance. So I'm going to just begin to pray right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you said in your word that you needed a binder, and God, you said that you needed a looser. So right now, in Jesus' name, today, June, Lord, on Father's Day, I just bind up that aggravation right now in Jesus' name. I speak to every bad attitude and I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, every bit of irritation that is on your children, I talk to that irritation and I call it out right now and I tell it to go. And not only do I tell it to go, but I just tell it to go right back to the pit of hell where it came from in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, I loose that spirit of peace, God, the peace that passes all understanding right now. God, I just loose it all over your children. God, and I just speak a calmness to this service. Lord, if there's any children in my service, God, I speak to their spirit right now, and I tell that spirit to be calm in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that as your word goes forth today, God, that it's planted. Lord, you'll do the watering, but God, give us good ground to get it planted. I'm going to ask the rest of y'all that are in your seats to stand up, because we have a habit of doing something every single Sunday morning. We're going to do it till the day I don't pastor or I kill over dead, one of the two, whichever happens quicker. I'd like my music on, please. Thank you. You're standing today, and you're standing by the grace of God. That's why you're standing up. When I became a pastor, God said, Kelly, you have people stand up on Sunday morning because everything in a week's time will try to get them to fall down and to quit, to just give up. And I want you to know that you are standing here today. You're standing right where you're at, and it's because God saw it fit for you to. He woke you up today with breath in your lungs because he loved you so much, and he birthed you into this world because of he had a purpose for you. And so he doesn't take your life lightly. He has a plan and he has a purpose. God, in Jesus' name, right now, Lord, all over the place, I ask that you would meet them right where they're at today. God, if that's in struggle, Lord, I ask that you'd meet them right in that struggle. God, if it's in pain and sadness and depression, God, if there's a physical ailment on their body, Lord, I ask that you would meet them right in that place. God, where they're struggling. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this service. God, right now, I ask that you turn this service around right now. And Lord, I thank you that people walk out of here and they're glad that they came to church. God, for any person, Lord, that they don't know you, God, if they're watching on Facebook Live and Lord, they don't know who you are, God, I ask that you would show them who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy to be in God's house. And it is wonderful to be here. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And I always think what a miracle it is when one service goes by, because unless you're the person that keeps an eye on things, you have no idea. But let me tell you, I know what a miracle it is for even one service to go by. And so if you have contributed into this service, if you've sang, if you've done whatever, I just want to tell you thank you. I want to tell you that from the bottom of this pastor's heart, I want to tell you that you're loved today. If you don't hear anything else that I say today, I want to tell you right now that God is not mad at you. God is not sitting there thinking of all the things that he can do to you to just make your life miserable. I want to tell you that you matter, and God loves you so much. God has a way. If you're in a bind right now, if you're struggling, God's got a way for you, and he has not forgotten about you. My name is Pastor Kelly, and Paris Christian Center was established in 1987. This is an interdenominational church. I personally do not care if you are a Catholic. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Methodist or Presbyterian. The only thing that I really deeply care about is your soul. I want to know, is your soul ready? And if it's not, then I pray to God that this message weighs on that heart and it becomes ripe and it gets ready. You will never hear me preaching a bunch of doctrine and a bunch of religion and a bunch of denominational stuff, because I'm not into that. I'm into one thing, and that's soul winning, and that's it. If you love Jesus and you're on your way to heaven, then great. If you've been away from Him, I want to tell you that there has never been a better time for you to come back than right here and now. The Word of God says that today is the day of salvation. And I want to tell you that this is your day. God has a plan for you. I'm going to be ministering today on the Father of Lies versus God the Father. Today is Father's Day, and I don't like to preach. I don't like to, you know what, if it's Easter and I'm not feeling like preaching Easter, I'm not going to preach Easter, because everybody expects things when they go to church. I've been in church my whole life, preacher's kid. I've been raised in the ministry, and you know what the world does not need is one more watered-down church and one more watered-down loose-lip pastor. God needs somebody that'll just stand up and say, this is how it is, like it or don't, but this is how it is. And so I don't follow a script. The day I start following the script, that's the day I'm walking out of here, because I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, and whatever He wants to be said, I'm going to say it. But I want you to turn right now to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And if you have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to have that thing silenced. And we are looking at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says here, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Now, I want to explain something to you about how the devil works in your life. You've probably heard before, you know, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But let me tell you, one of the main ways that he does those three things is through lying. He can steal out of your life by telling you a lie. He can kill things in your life by telling you a lie. He can destroy things in your life and in your family by telling you a lie. See, the devil is the original liar. He's the original one. He's been lying since the beginning of time. And the devil doesn't need any new tricks, because the ones that he has and the ones that he's been working on since the beginning of time, they still work. And not only do they work, but they work great. The devil has still got it going on, because he's still deceiving people left and right. People are still going to hell every single day. So he still does his job great. So what I want to tell you this morning about Satan is that he's crafty. See, what does the Word say? It's not enough for me to just sit here and read some Bible verses to you. If you're not getting in the Word for yourself, you're hurting yourself. Sunday morning is not just enough. Hearing me for 45 minutes, that's not enough for you to go to heaven. And I got news for you. I'm not getting you into heaven. That's your job. It's not... Nobody is working out your salvation but you. Nobody's working out my salvation but me. And the Word of God says, now work out your own salvation. The problem with people is a lot of folks, they like to work out everybody else's salvation. They're nosy. I'm nosy. Now look here, when I became a pastor, all that nosiness, the curiosity, it done killed this cat. I don't even like to hear it. People are like, did you hear about so-and-so? And I'll say, no, and I don't want to. I don't want to hear about Sally Sue and what she's doing. It stresses me. No, I don't want to hear it. Uh-uh. But the devil is crafty. And not only is he crafty, but see, the Word says, now the serpent was more crafty than anybody else. See, Satan is so crafty with what he does to you that he gets you and he lies to you. And before you know it, he'll get you lying to yourself and you'll believe it. Amen. So it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, I personally believe that God is still on the throne, and I personally believe that God is still very much talking to people. He wants to walk with you, and He wants to talk with you. And not only does He want to do that, but He wants to call you friend. And He believes that you're the apple of His eye. Amen. But it says here, did God really say? See, and so many times God will tell you something, and you'll sit on it. You'll sit on it. God may say, okay, you don't know this person sitting over here at the table at the restaurant, but by their meal, I'm trying to talk to them. And you'll sit there for 20 minutes and you'll look at them and you'll go, did God really tell me to do that? Am I going to do it? Have you ever been there where you're like, am I going to do what God told me to do? Now, I just think God told me to do this. Now, am I going to do that or not? And you're wrestling with yourself. See, the devil will get you, and God will tell you to do something, Miss Sherry, and the devil will say, now, did he really say that? Did he really tell you to do that? And see, Eve knew that that's exactly what God told her. He told her, don't eat from that tree. But here's the devil, and like I said, he's the original liar. And he said, now, did God really say that? And so many Christians today, they know what God told them. And they're allowing the devil to speak to them. And the devil's saying, did God really tell you that? And we're going, and see, when you entertain that first thought, it continues to grow. And before you know it, you got a bunch of Christians, and they've not listened to God. And then they've gotten out in left field, and their life starts getting messed up. And they start wondering, why is my life messed up? Well, look here. You know what God told you. You know what God told you. And one of my pieces of advice that I like to give people is, if you've gotten off, go back to that last place where God told you to do something and you didn't listen. Go back right there and just pick up where you left off. See, God is ready for people to say, you know what? I zigged when I should have zagged. God, I'm sorry. Here I am. I like when Brother Tommy gets up there and sings, because if he doesn't get that song right off the bat, he'll just say, okay, stop that music. I need to start again. Where did that type of mentality go? You know, sometimes you just need to wave that white flag and you need to say, hold on, I missed it. Let me begin again. There's nothing wrong with starting over. There's nothing wrong with starting over. Religion and religious people, they'll say, well, that person's just done that a million times. They're never going to get it right. Let me tell you something. It only takes that one time. It only takes that one time. In recovery, we teach, if you get up one more time than you fall down, you've got it. Keep getting back up. Keep getting back up. Stop listening to the father of lies. That's what the Bible refers to the devil of. He's the father of all lies. And not only is he the father of all lies, but he is the original liar. He has been lying since day one. And if the devil can get in your head, then he's got you. Because if he gets in your head, he's going to get in your heart. If he gets into your heart, he's going to get into your decisions. Because there's a lot of folks, and they're saying, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, baby, that's the wrong decision. Because you go to follow in your heart, you're going to make some very bad calls. Because the word tells you, now the heart is deceitful. Above all, who can really know it? See, you don't know your heart. I don't know my heart. What I know is I'm fickle. Now, we got some sweet people from California, and they done moved down here, and I'm going to teach y'all a new word if they don't have it up in California. It's called fickle. Pickle, and you got fickle. And we're all fickle down here. And fickle means wishy-washy. What'll jive and jive with you right now, you go home and you think about it, and you're fickle about it. See, your heart is deceitful. Hearts lie to you all the time. So stop following your heart and start following the word of God. Start following what he's telling you. Because here's Eve, and she knows what God told her. But her first mistake was she let her ear be open to Satan. Now, does the devil have the right to have your ear in your life or not? Because she could have just told him to shut up. But she entertained that. We got to stop entertaining all these lies. So it says here, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And here's the devil, and he says, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And I want to tell you about something about the devil, his lies. He is the father of lies, but his lies are different because Satan's lies will always undermine God's word. They will always undermine the word of God. Here's Eve, and she says, yeah, God said not to eat it. And the devil goes, you're not going to die. God told you you'd die, but you're really not going to. It's okay. You ever see those shirts? It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Look here. Let's get this straightened out. Ain't none of us all fine? Ain't none of us fine? Sometimes I go home, and by the time I sit in that recliner, I'm going, Lord Jesus, God in heaven, help me. Because everybody's messed up, and I thank God, I think I'm the most messed one up of all of them, and you done put me in charge of this. But see, we have to know that the devil, he's a liar. And he doesn't need an ear in your life, but unfortunately, so many times we let him have our ear. And when we do, he's telling you lies. He'll tell you lies about how awful you are, about how you made that mistake, how you're never going to be able to be okay again because that happened in your life, how something's just the end of the world, what you're going through now, you'll never get over it, you'll never be whole again, all these things. See, those are all lies. The devil will lie to you about anything that he can. He is the original liar, and he plants seeds of doubt in your life. See, there are people here, and God has done told you that he's going to do something in your life. But because it's taken longer than you thought or wanted it to take, you got that little doubt, and it's going on in your mind. Look here, listen to God, because whatever he says, that's what's going to go. It may take longer than you wanted it to take, but you need to hold on. You need to hold on to what God told you. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 12. And it says here, how have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High God. And I want to tell you something, ain't nobody like God. Ain't nobody like God, and ain't nobody can quite do what God does. He tells us to imitate him, but don't kid yourself. God, he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And there are things that God is willing to do for you that nobody else is. See, when everybody walks out of your life, and people that were supposed to be good to you in your life, when they fail you, when they disappoint you, God is never going to fail you. He is never going to disappoint you. He's never going to leave you holding the bag. He's never going to walk away and said, no, you made too many mistakes. I'm done with you. See, you better listen to God, and you better begin to hear and know the voice of God, because that's the only voice that's not going to let you down. When push comes to shove and everything is going wrong in your life, when you're going through the worst thing, he is the one constant in your life. And the word says, now whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they're going to be saved. God has had to save me from myself so many times, it's not even funny. There were so many times that by all indication, everything should have been done. It should have been messed up forever, but God would not allow it. And he's not going to allow it in your life, but you best stop listening to Satan, because he's telling you everything that he says to you is a lie. Every time that he tells you you're going to fail, that's not the truth. God says that he doesn't have failure for you. Every time where you feel defeated and you feel like, man, this is going to just be messed up. See, God doesn't have defeat for you, but the devil sure does. If the devil can get you talked into that defeat, he's got you. See, God the Father is like no other daddy on earth. If you're sitting here today, you know one of the reasons why I don't want to talk about Father's Day is because I've realized as an adult now that Father's Day isn't just a great holiday for everybody. Now, I'm thankful for every dad and man in this room, and you've stepped up and you've manned up and you've been a good dad. That's awesome, but that's not how it is for everybody.
Right.
And I've said it in my heart that for people, when they come up in here, I'm not going to sit there and let them think, am I being judged? Am I this or am I that? No, you need to be able to go to one place, and it should be church, and just be able to sit down and let the Word of God rest on your life. Because let me tell you something, from the pastor on down, let me tell you, everybody's got some messed up things about their life. And if Christians would just be honest about it, we could skip all the misery and just be like, you know what, how can we help each other out? Sister Sally Sue, here's what I've messed up in my life. Now, don't do what I did because that'll mess you up. See, there's too much of this, let's just fake it till we make it. No, you're going to fake yourself out one too many times, and you're going to wake up one day, and you're not going to know who you are and what you stand for because you done faked everything in your life. Now, I can preach about it because I've lived it. See, you can't preach about things that you don't know, but by golly, when you know it and you know it like the back of your hand, you can preach it every day of the week because you know it. We have to stop listening to the lies that Satan's telling us because they're ruining us. Tyranny, when the devil says you can't, God says you can. See, there's times where, Lindsay, I'm sitting here and I'm going, God, I cannot do that. And he said, Kelly, I've called you to do it. Not only have I called you to do it, but man, I set you apart just specifically to do that. So stop telling me that you can't and start telling me that you can. Because, see, now faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. See, what has the Word said to you in your life? You know what you need to do? You need to start repeating the words of God that He said. Did God tell you that He'll restore your family? Then you better, by golly, you better wake up every morning and say, God, I thank you for restoring my family. Did He tell you He'd heal your finances? God, in Jesus' name, I'm laying my hands on my wallet, and God, right now, I thank you for a healing going on in these finances. Is it your body that the devil has messed with and he's told you you're never going to be healed? Well, look here. The Word of God says that by His stripes we are healed. Not that we were going to be and not that we were a long time ago. We are right now. And we got to realize that the promises of God are yes and they're amen. That means that they are for you. They're not for you because you've done everything perfect in your life. They're for you because you are a blood-bought child of God. That is the qualification. Too many people and too many sweet, precious Christians are disqualifying themselves because they've made a little boo-boos. Well, look here. You put a Band-Aid on them things, get them healed up and go on with your life and stop thinking about everything that you've done wrong, because we can all stay forever on all of our mistakes. But we don't need to let that happen. What God is wanting to do in your life is going to overflow so much that He's saying, why are you messed up about that? I don't even remember that sin that you did. I already threw that in the sea of forgetfulness, but you're the one that keeps bringing it up. God's not hung up over your mistakes. But if you're not careful, you will be. I mean, I'm going to keep it real with you. I have my days where I don't even want to show my face. But one thing God knows is He knows when He called me. He called one of the most stubborn people. And I will not allow myself to be so punked out that I won't show my face. I was going into a business the other day, and I was feeling bad about myself. And God said, now hold on, Kelly. You're missing one thing out of this outfit. You're dressed to a T, baby, but you hold that head up. You hold it up. And God didn't send His Son the most precious thing that he had and let him be crucified for you so you could feel bad about yourself. He sent the best thing that he had so every day of your life you could walk in victory and you could have wholeness and you could have joy in your life. See, God wants to meet some people exactly where they're at today. Why do you think we've had so many frustrating things go on in this service? That's why. God's wanting to scrape away all the garbage. You know what? It really don't matter who's singing. It don't matter what's being sang. What matters is the condition of your heart. And if your heart is so messed up over things in your past, God wants to wipe that stuff out. Because you've been listening to the wrong father. See, God the Father, he doesn't have nothing bad to say about you. Does that mean he won't correct you? No, he'll correct you. And if he corrects you, realize that he loves you dearly because the Word of God says he only chastises those that he loves, he chastises. God loves you. He loves you a lot. And Satan, he's doing everything that he can to sift you. He's doing everything that he can to get you going. Look here. Stop listening to him. Stop listening to him. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I just said, hold on. This conversation is over. Because I'm not hearing one more word of this garbage. It's done. It's over. See, when's the last time you just told Satan, shut up? I'm not going to hear one more word of you. All you're doing is telling me lies. I remember when I was a kid. My dad is old school, and he's still old school. If you walk into this church and he's getting on to a kid and that offends you, then you need to get over it. Because if you won't allow your kid to be corrected, the government's going to correct him, and I'll be visiting him on Mondays at the jail. Right? And if you ain't careful, he'll be the one bailing you out because he's a big old teddy bear. Thank God I've never had to call him to bail me out, but I think Shelly has. I'm just kidding. There's four of us girls, and somehow, miraculously, we've all made it to church this morning. Praise the Lord. Dad goes the other day, what did I do wrong? I said, I've got no idea. No idea what you did. But if you want to worry about somebody, don't worry about me. Worry about the other three. I'm kidding, girls. They won't come back again till next Father's Day, till he puts the touch on them and he just, yeah. Anyhow, hey, if you can't have fun in church, you're in the wrong church because I'm not going to be, I mean, get over that. I didn't have too much of religion in church my whole life. I'm just not into it. But I was a kid, and how many of you have ever raised a pyromaniac? My parents did. I love to just light things on fire, and I still do. Catch me in a bad moment, you better watch out. Shelly, didn't you get one of your wedding dresses one time and light it up in somebody's yard? Was that you? Get a girl. Golly, I was telling somebody that the other day, and I said, ooh, I better not do that. I better not say that no more. I'm going to give people ideas. But Casey had piano lessons. Now, that first, I want to give y'all a pointer. How many of you got more than one kid? All right. Now, you're looking at the product of the baby of the family, okay? So we're as rotten as they get. But the first child, they get all the pictures. And they get all the money for everything. I mean, by golly, they'll get the piano lessons. They'll get the horses. They'll get all of it. So if you got more than one kid, let me tell you, you need to make sure that the rest of the kids, they get a little whatever. Because if not, the only thing they're going to have is the gift of gab, and that's where you get me. Now, Casey can sing, she can teach, she can do all sorts of stuff. So, Casey, we were at piano lessons for Casey. And I believe his name was Mr. Morgan, was it? Okay. That's what my childhood memory has told me. Mr. Morgan, I didn't get them piano lessons. So one day he had some matches at his house. while Casey was having piano lessons. And I thought, oh my gosh, I am so invigorated right now. Are those matches? I'm taking them. I took all the matches, which is also stealing. That's awful for a preacher's kid to do, but you know, you got to keep it real in here. So I took all the matches of Mr. Morgan's, and I took them home. Now, my mother, she had an aloe vera plant in her window still, and the window was in the laundry room, which is an awful place for a window and a fire at the same time. And I was raised for half of my childhood with no TV, and which didn't hurt me because I'm a very creative person. I credit that to not being sucked on a TV 24 hours a day. We actually did something called go outside and play in the dirt. So anyhow, I was in the laundry room, and at that time the house was 900 square feet, which was in this day like almost unheard of. People think they're in a third world country if they're getting in a 900 square foot house, but hey, that's what I was raised in, and I'm proud of it. I got up there in that laundry room, and I lit my first match, and after that, I was hooked. I mean, one right after the other. Well, I mean, man, and caught the aloe vera plant on fire, put it out. Those things are hard to catch on fire, but I'm talented. And Daddy comes in, bloop. Now, put the matches in my pocket. And I've always been an awful liar. I mean, I'll be lying to you, and I'm smiling ear to ear. It's awful. I mean, I'm still like that as an adult. And that's why if I don't want to lie to you, I'm just not going to talk to you. So if I don't talk to you for a long time, it's probably because I don't want you to put me in a position where you're going to make me lie about something, because I'm pretty terrible about it. So anyhow, he goes, smells like fire. I don't know what you're talking about. Smells good to me. And he kept saying, I smell fire. And he kept looking my direction. And he goes, did you light them, Mom? He goes, Millie, check her pockets. Out comes the matches. Kelly, where did you get those matches? I have no idea. Every time I said no idea, I got a lick. By about, and I'm a hard-headed, stubborn person. That's why God called me to ministry, because that's what you need when you get in ministry. You need somebody that's just stubborn enough to stick with it. And about 9 or 10 times, I mean, I know that'd be child abuse in these days, but I mean, you can put me up against some of the best people. I'm pretty good. And about lick number 9, he goes, I said, hold on. I think my memory's coming back. I got them matches from Mr. Morgan. He goes, you stole too? Yep. Said you could light the whole house on fire. I had no idea. I just knew it was fun. I see. The devil gets you lying about something. And there was a time in that little lie of mine, I had just erased out where I got them things. I was like, I really don't know where I got them. That's how I was able to lie so good. But see, the devil will get you to doing that. You'll lie about something, and you know the first couple times you tell that, you know you're lying. But you'll tell that so many times that you'll believe your own stuff, and then you'll start lying to yourself. Yes. And so many Christians do that. They lie to themselves. They lie to themselves. And you begin to believe that. Now, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. One of the main ways that he does that is through lying. Lying. If you can believe your lies, that's bad. Have you ever met somebody that they were so good at lying that they believed their own lies? That's a dangerous person. It really is. And so in this part here, in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, Satan is so good at lying that he lied to himself and he said, I'm going to be just like God. I'm going to be greater than God. You know, the word says that when all this is over, when this life is gone, on judgment day, we'll see Satan, we'll see him face to face, and we're going to all say, is this the one that deceived nations? is this really the thing that had me sinning all the time? That's how irrelevant that he is. But he's so good at what he does that we fall for it. And we got to learn how to see those lies coming and how to not let them get into our spirit. Because you can have a bad day just over believing one of the lies that he wants to tell you at 8 o'clock in the morning. And you have to learn how to just hit that little X box. Like, no, I'm not going to believe that about myself today. No, I'm not going to believe that about my situation. No, I'm not going to believe that. Let's go to John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 42. And it says here, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Look here, there is no truth in Satan. There is no truth in what he says. Everything that he says, everything that he whispers in your ear is a lie. And so many precious people are letting the devil just whisper in their ear all the time, you're a failure. You know, most people, if you say, what are you so afraid of? Failure. I'm afraid I'm going to fail in my job. I'm afraid I'm going to fail in my family. I'm afraid I'm going to fail as a wife. I'm afraid I'm going to fail as a mom. I'm afraid I already have failed. A lot of people are afraid of failure. And it says there is no truth in him. There is no truth in what the devil says about you. And it says, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Look here, it's very simple. A lot of people, a lot of pastors, they want to muddy up the waters of reality and Christianity and salvation. It's very clear. You're either saved or you're not. And you're not coming back to this earth as a butterfly. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And I'm not a fire and brimstone type of pastor because I don't believe in manipulating people and getting them afraid they're going to hell to make them say the sinner's prayer. Because what I know is the God that I serve, he is well able to come to people and to make himself known. So, he is the father of all lies. Let's go now to John chapter 1. Now I want to talk to you about God the Father. Because see, there's two fathers up in your life. You got the father of lies and you've got God the Father. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. This is talking about Jesus. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Let's skip down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God the Father, it says here, it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. So it's talking about the Trinity. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then it says here, the Word, Jesus, became flesh. He had to come down. He had to become flesh. He had to dwell among us. He had to feel what we felt. You've had to endure what we've endured. See, there's nothing that wasn't nailed to the cross when he was crucified. There wasn't any failure, any sin, any sickness. When he died, that was all nailed to the cross. He did that. He did it for all of us, but he would have done it just for you. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, you know what? Once you get a habit of letting the devil talk to you, you're going to have to break that habit. How you break that habit is you look at the Word and you say, okay, God, You're the one and You're full of grace. And God, You're full of truth. Lord, Your Word is truth. God, in Jesus' name, I put my hands over myself. And God, right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over my life. God, right now, I ask You to fill me with grace. And God, fill me with truth. God, You're the only truth that I'm interested in. You're the only truth that I need. So many people are running halfway. Halfway. See, God wants you to be full, but you got to be full of what He is. If you're running off of everything that the devil said bad about you, you're going to feel bad about yourself. You're going to not step up to your calling. You're going to not live out your purpose. See, God is interested in you being the very best version of you, and you can't do that feeling awful about yourself. The devil is the devil of all lies, and God is the best Father that's ever been. And He wants to fill you. But not only does He want to fill you, He wants to make you whole. And what does He want to make you whole with? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. When you look in the mirror, when you're looking back at your life, God's not wanting you to say, well, I messed up when I was 25 and I did this. And I messed up here and I messed up there and I did this. See, God's not wanting you to even recall those things. He's wanting you to say, you know what? When I was 30, God stepped in here right on time. When this happened, when my family was sick, when this happened, when that happened, you know what? I can look all back in my childhood, Angel, and you know, a lot of preachers' kids, they could be awful. They could not even be saved because it's hard to grow up in the ministry. It's one of the most difficult childhoods I think that there is for kids is to grow up in the ministry because you see people and you see them at their worst. And one of the things that I have battled with that. I'm not going to lie to you. I've battled at it. But you know what? One of the things that I have is the privilege to look back. And I've seen God do things for our family that I've never seen Him do for another family. Why? Because He had a group of people that said, you know what? God, we're not going to believe the lies of our enemies. We're not going to believe the lies of Satan. God, we're going with what You said. We're going with what You said. You know, back in December when Brother Angelo had an issue with his brain and his brain began to bleed, for one second, Jennifer, we had like three major events at the church and people were depending on some things. We had the nursing home thing. We had the thing where we were feeding half the town and all this stuff. We had tons of stuff going on. And 3 days before Christmas, the devil wants to try to get us all worked up over Brother Angelo. And you know what? He's a trooper. He took it all in stride. I remember telling him on a Wednesday night, Daddy, if you never want to sing again, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do nothing. If you don't feel like doing praise and worship tonight, don't do it. If you don't feel like preaching, don't do it. He couldn't even hardly walk. And he don't like me talking about this. But there's too many pastors, and they won't tell you where they've struggled. And that's why everybody's down on themselves because they're like, man, if the pastor's so perfect, I can't be like that. Let me tell you something. Our family has struggled. We have struggled tremendously. We have battled things tremendously. We have hurt and been disappointed. We've battled depression. We have battled everything that normal people battle and probably then some. And he was sitting right back there. And I said, if you don't want to ever do another thing, you don't have to. I'm telling you, it's okay. He said, if you'll just drag me up to the front of the church, I'm going to do it. And let me tell you, with a brain bleed on his head on both sides, he strummed that guitar like nobody's business. He preached a message. And after that message, I said, we're going to go to the hospital. And he was up there at the hospital. I'm sitting here thinking in my head. I'm like, and I asked God. I said, God, do you want me to cancel all this stuff that we've got and go up there and be with my dad? What do you want me to do? Because God, at Your word, I'm going to do whatever You say. And as God is my witness, He said, Kelly, Your dad would get you if you canceled anything. You go up there and you do what you're supposed to do. Because let me tell you something, I got your dad. See, there's so many people. You know what? It's going to cost you something to be the Christian that you're supposed to be. You know how much I wanted to be up there with them? Yeah, I wanted to be up there with them. But you know what else? There's people down here depending on some things that they were going to be disappointed in. And I said, God, you just speak your word and you tell me what to do. He said, you know what? You do what you're supposed to do. And you know what? Here I am sitting here feeding all the elderly people and feeding the inmates at the jail and all this stuff. And just a blessed assurance came over me. I had one voice in there saying he's dying, and I had the voice of God saying, no, he's going to live, but you, by golly, you're going to do what I told you to do.
Right,
see, you're going to have to make decisions in your life, and that decision needs to be grounded in Christ, because if you go with your feelings, you're going to have a very messed up life, because your feelings will drag you to places you shouldn't be. Your feelings will drag you off to places you shouldn't go and people you shouldn't be with. Feelings. And feelings are not facts. Now, I know this is raw. It is what it is. Truth is going to come from the pulpit, or nothing will. I don't have violins at this church because we ain't playing them here and having sob stories. No, we're going to get through what we're going through, and we're going to have some victory, and that's that. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 21. I'm actually going to start at verse 23, and it says here, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is the Father of truth. If truth isn't ringing in your soul, you're listening to the wrong one. You're listening to the wrong father, and he's telling you lies. He is wanting people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. A lot of people, when they come to a worship service, they don't even feel worthy to hold their hands up and worship God. Why? Because the devil's done fed them a load of garbage. I don't ever want you to come in here and feel like you're so awful you can't come in here and raise your hands. Because you know what? At the very moment you begin to just worship God in spirit and in truth, that stuff's coming off of you because it can't stay there. Those two things, they can't coexist. Last place for me this morning, John chapter 8, verse 31. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look here. The devil is the father of all lies. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now I want to tell you something. You can listen to one father or the other. You know, when I want some of my best advice, I'll call my earthly father. But when I want the best advice, I call on Daddy God first. Why? Because you can't live your life through another person's salvation. No person is going to get you into heaven. You're getting yourself into heaven. You're getting yourself into heaven by your choices, by your salvation, by the condition of your heart. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm not having an altar service because you know what I know? This word has been set out exactly how it was supposed to be set out. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place this morning, God, I ask that truth would begin to speak louder than any other voice in our heart or in our soul or in our mind. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you'd make everyone to be able to hear your voice, God, and to hear it very clearly. Lord, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So, God, I ask that you'd set people free all over the place today. God, if they're listening on Facebook Live, I ask that you'd set them free. I speak to drug addiction in this place, and I bind you up right now, and I loose recovery all over the place right now. God, and I thank you for what you're going to do, God, in the days and the years to come. In Jesus' name, amen.